Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
A beautiful day and evening for us to celebrate together this great observance of what's truly important in life. As we come together tonight, we recognize God's love. We recognize our opportunities to share that love, to drink in God's light and hope and promise. Would you rise with me as we sing our opening carol, "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear"?
Swiftly on the wing,
O Bethlehem,
by prophets seen of old, went with the ever-circling years, shall come the time foretold, when peace shall over all the earth
animals came to prepare your bed.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.
Shepherds stood guard, marveled, and said,
Come, Lord Jesus, come.
Angels sang to calm your cries.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.
And all the world gave one great sigh.
Come, Lord Jesus, you have come.
You have come. Amen. You may be seated.
For these weeks of Advent, our church has been considering the faithful people of the Nativity. In this sacred season of Christmas, the people of God celebrate and share the great good news announced long ago by angels. We shepherd our flock, spread the word, and amaze our hearers by what we say about Jesus, the Lord of life. At this time of the year, like Mary, we treasure all these things and ponder them in our hearts. We glorify a little town that saw him born, and we praise God, who reigns in our hearts and homes tonight.
From Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 20, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
Let us pray. O Lord of life, babe of Bethlehem, we seek tonight to place you at the center of our lives. With all the preparations made and the family gathered, we invite you into our hearts and into our homes. We who are so removed from Bethlehem of long ago see great transformation in the here and now. Tonight our hearts, so often ruled by the world, are given over with Mary to ponder the nativity of Jesus. As we sing and worship tonight, we ask that you, O God, would rule our hearts and fill our lives with hope, love,
and joy. Amen.
Till we see the light, awake and dreamless sleep,
The silent stars go by, yet in the dark street shineth the
everlasting
light.
Our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us.
And
Thank you. Amen. Let us gather together with our thoughts and prayers. Will you pray with me tonight? Holy and gracious God, God of joy, hope, peace, and love, you come into our lives anew this night with your Son, with the Son who brought light into our darkness, light into those places where we might feel loneliness or uncertainty, where we might feel abandoned or pain, where we might just not feel. But God, we recognize that you are among us. You are the light in those dark places. And when we feel those, when we feel loneliness or we feel uncertainty, that you promise to give us something to say, hallelujah. For your Son gives us an understanding that that divine spark lives within us. It illuminates through us and gives light into the world. Let that be a reason for us to say alleluia again, tap our foot and dance into the world, sharing your message of peace, hope, love, and joy again this day and this year. We pray this in your Son's holy name. Amen. Our first scripture reading tonight comes from the prophet Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken on this day. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Thank you.
Please be seated.
Hold on now, gotta take a deep breath. I don't know what to say when I look in your eyes. You made the world before I was born, and here I am holding you in my arms tonight. Noel, Noel, Jesus, our Emmanuel, you're here. I'm holding you so near. I'm staring into the face of my Savior, King and Creator. Could have left us on our own, but you're here. I don't know how long I'm gonna have you for, but I'll be watching when you change the world. Look in your hands, they're still so small. Someday you're gonna stretch them out and save us all. Noel, Noel, God with us, Emmanuel, you're here. So near, oh, I'm staring into the face of my Savior, King and Creator. Could have left us on our own, but you're here. You're here. Night that God became my baby boy. Someday you're gonna go home again, but you leave your spirit and flood the world with joy. You'll be here. I'm holding you so near. Staring into the face of my Savior, King and Creator. Could have left us on our own, but you're here. You're here.
Thank you so much. Hear these words from Isaiah 42, 1 through 9. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretch them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light of the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare before they spring forth. I tell you of them. Would you rise with me to affirm our faith at Christmas? I believe in Christmas. I believe that God sends light into the dark corners of our lives. And then in the lonely and cold moments, God comes with a message of hope. I'm the good news of the angels, but eager to go and see for myself. I am Mary, aware that somehow God is using me to accomplish things too big to imagine. I am Joseph, not understanding fully that which God calls me to do, but following as faithfully as I can. Busy and frazzled, but making room somehow for God to be born. I am the wise men on a journey of discovery, bearing my gift to be given to glorify God. Proclaiming through my whole life the glorious good news that God has come into the world and we shall never be the same. I believe in Christmas and that with my life I will proclaim that Christ is born, that Christmas is here, and that God is with us. Amen. Sing we now of Christmas, Noel, sing we here. Hear our grateful praises to the babe so dear. Sing we Noel, the King is born, Noel. Sing we now of Christmas, sing we now Noel. Angels call to shepherds, leave your flocks at rest. Journey forth to Bethlehem, find the... You too, please. Yes, I'll do that. In Bethlehem then they found him, Joseph and Mary mild, seated by the manger, watching the holy child. Sing we Noel, the King is born, Noel. Sing we now of Christmas, sing we now Noel. From the eastern country came the kings afar, bearing gifts to Bethlehem, guided by a star. Sing we Noel, the King is born, Noel. Sing we now of Christmas, sing we now Noel. Gold and myrrh they took him, gifts of greatest price. There was never stable so like paradise. Sing we Noel, the King is born, Noel. Sing we now of Christmas, sing we now Noel.
You may be seated. Hear these words from the book of Titus. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. Will you stand again as we sing, please?
Sleeping, shepherds keeping, vigil till the morning new. Saw the glory, told the story, tidings of a gospel true. Thus rejoicing, free from sorrow, praises voicing, greet the morrow. Christ the babe was born for you.
You may be seated. For you, Christ was born, for each of you, and for you, this gift was given. At this time, we have an opportunity to give back to God. A simple blessing that we can ensure will be made abundant in this world. Through this church which reaches out to the community of Boulder, Boulder Valley, this nation, and internationally. So I invite you to give as you're able, a gift of Christmas back into the world.
won't you be seated?
Words from Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. You may remain seated as we sing our next song.
In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in the manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go down to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." And so they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Here ends the reading of the word. The spirit of what we hope to capture on a night like this is summed up in one word: glory. How you define that word with regular English, I'm not so sure. But it's the feeling, it's the emotion, it's the desire that we crave to experience ourselves as the shepherds experienced it upon hearing the news. Glory, which puts us well out of control and puts God at the center of things where God belongs. It seems to me that too much stress can kill our Christmas merriment. Too much squeezed down into too many lists and requirements at this time of year can block our essential being. Too little prayer and not enough reverence can make us think we're all that and a bag of chips. Just as too much entitlement can obscure the real reason for this season and all its joys. Given the distractions from essential Christmas, it's possible for us, even the best of us, to find ourselves off course on Christmas Eve, maybe a little bereft, certainly not able to experience glory, maybe just not feeling it. I do love the story of an 8-year-old girl who had a most disappointing Christmas. She didn't get the gift she hoped to receive. She got into arguments with her brother, who was older, and her mother walked in on them in the middle of a fight in the play area, and the girl was blamed. Then she took out her anger on the cat and found herself in bed that night earlier than usual. And when she said the Lord's Prayer, as was their bedtime custom, she said, "And forgive us our Christmases as we forgive those who Christmas against us." In these stress-filled times around the holiday, virtually all of us would seek relief by visiting on our imaginations a childhood Christmas of impossible perfection. These longings are powerful and can easily deceive us into grasping for a new toy or an old feeling, a new car or an old memory, to fill the empty place where God's love belongs. For those who cannot or will not look more deeply into their own motives, sentiment and nostalgia can masquerade as strategies for coping. Without a different approach, my friends, we can easily miss the Yuletide opportunity to receive the ultimate gift of our lives. Let me ask you a question. What did you get for Christmas in 1998? How about 2004? That's a little sooner. You surely remember exactly what it... How about last year? What did you get for Christmas last year? Can you remember? Of course we can't. But who did you love in 1998? Who was with you in 2004? Through the years, we'll all be together, if the fates allow. But the stuff is not what matters. They are mere tokens of expression of our esteem, reminders, practical as they may be, that I remember you and I know something about you, so I got you this tie. It's not the stuff that matters, it's who we love and who loves us tonight that shapes the memories we most cherish on this Christmas night. I smile when I remember the gas station from an old refrigerator box that I built for the children for one Christmas. Crayoned, little gauges on white butcher paper, glued to the side. Now, I don't remember exactly which year that was. I'm going to have to recalculate to figure that out. And I wonder, what happened to that box? It's the people we love. It's the relationships we're after. After all, that's all we really have to give. And all we really want to receive. That's what God gives at Christmas. Not this thing or that answer to prayer. God gives God's own self at Christmas, the gift that we cannot live well without. Glory is the presence of God in our midst. Glory is the feeling we seek when God's presence touches our hearts and our lives and offers transformation of the old things, the old ways of thinking and being. Recently, I saw a newspaper comic strip that revealed the disconnect that we often have with the biblical narrative. You see, not very much that we participate in outside of the church has much to do with the biblical story. One comic strip then I saw showed the failure to get a room for Mary that night was really all Joseph's fault. The last frame read, he should have gone online ahead of time and booked a room on Expedia. But if you read the Bible story of the Nativity with more than a casual interest, it is striking how foreign to that first Christmas we can be. This night, the dazzling Christmas display will light the way to your familiar holiday destination. That night, it was a bright star which showed lost shepherds the way to the dark, simple stable in Bethlehem. This night, we will travel securely in warmth and comfort by the convenience of the internal combustion engine or electric car if you own a Tesla. That night, Mary and Joseph did not ride a donkey as we see in greeting cards. Instead, they walked in caravan through bandit-filled hills, the 65 miles to Bethlehem from Nazareth, and a bargain they didn't do it all that night. This night, most of us will be greeted by family and friends into warm homes with loving embrace, maybe warm cookies, maybe a Christmas tree. That night, not so much. As one commentator has wryly noted, Joseph was going to go to Bethlehem for the census, and so he was liable to be staying with his own family. The treatment he got at the inn for himself and for Mary was likely from his own kin. Undeniably, there are lots of darkness in the world and in our lives. And yet the sacred narrative and the disruptive nature of God gives us reason for hope, friends. When we think we've got it all figured out, God knows different and can help us find our way home. It seems
that a Sunday school class was putting on a Christmas play, which included the story of Mary and Joseph coming to the inn. And in that class, there was one little boy who wanted very much to be Joseph. Instead, when the parts were handed out, his biggest rival got Joseph, and he was assigned the innkeeper. There was friction between these boys all week long as they rehearsed, and they plotted their revenge on each other until that night. Finally, the night of the pageant arrived. The sanctuary was abuzz with pride and excitement. Family and friends flocked to see the traditional Christmas pageant, acted out by their own little people. And so proud. And at the right place in the pageant, Mary and Joseph came walking across the stage, and they knocked on the cardboard door of the hand-painted scene of the inn. And in line with tradition, the innkeeper opened the door and asked gruffly, "What do you want?" And Joseph answered, "We'd like a room for the night." And suddenly, in line with his revenge, the little innkeeper threw open the door wide and said, "Great, come on in. I'll give you the best room in the house." For a few seconds, poor little Joseph didn't know what to do. And laughter rocked the audience, and a long silence ensued on stage. And finally, Joseph looked past the innkeeper, first to the left, and then to the right. And he said, "No wife of mine is going to stay in a dump like this. Come on, Mary, let's go to the barn." Once again, the Christmas pageant was back on course. God is disruptive like that. Disruptive of our resentments, disruptive of our revenge. God takes our utter failures in relationship, in family, in life, in business, everything that we screw up, and offers us a second chance. God repeatedly makes heroes out of zeros, and not just in the Bible. I'm convinced that God does that in our life every moment of every day. So please, come home tonight. God shows us the way. Come home tonight and be in God's presence through Jesus Christ, the babe of Bethlehem. I am fond of what the atheist novelist Julian Barnes said. "I don't believe in God, but I sure miss him. For I believe the most adamant atheist and the most casual spiritual person have a deep-seated longing for home, for Christmas, for Christ. And that we believe not out of our strength of certainty as Christian persons, but in fact in the weakness of our own situation and our need for God. There is undeniably a lot of darkness in the world and in our lives, but tonight God's open invitation is to put away our pride, to welcome this holy light and ask God to forgive us our Christmases as we forgive those who have Christmased against us. Our faith offers us a second chance, wrapped as it is tonight in childhood wonder and childlike mystery." It is the Swiss theologian and Catholic priest Hans Urs von Balthasar, that's some kind of name, you'd have to write that out, eh? Who said that only the Christian religion, which in its essence is communicated by the eternal child of God, keeps alive in its believers the lifelong awareness of their being children, and therefore of having to ask and give thanks for things. That's a decidedly dependent posture which is intrinsic to Christianity. It defines so much of what is missing in our secular approach to religion and defies the darkness which tries to deceive and overwhelm us. 200 years ago tonight was the first sung expression of Silent Night, 1818, in Oberndorf, Austria. It was composed within a few short hours for the Midnight Mass by Franz Gruber, the church choir master and organist. This simple song was sung that evening in humble arrangements for guitar and a small choir. And within a few years, arrangements of the carol spread throughout the region by folk singers from the Ziller Valley. Translated into hundreds and hundreds of world language, Silent Night is now iconic to Christmas Eve and all of Christendom. In fact, this and other songs stopped a war. On this day in 1914, the Christmas truce of World War I began when German troops fighting in Belgium began decorating their trenches and singing Christmas carols. The British troops on the other side stood and joined in soon the singing. And soon these soldiers greeted each other in the plains between them, putting the war on hold while exchanging gifts with one another. So it can happen. Beyond the glitz and glitter of our city decorated to boost holiday sales, I believe there's a deeper yearning for Christmas this year. What sort of greeting will the Christ child receive from you this holy night? I believe there's recognition, a hint of the holy, and a flutter of acknowledgement that genuine joy is born among us this night as we welcome the Prince of Peace, the gift of nativity, the babe of Bethlehem into our hearts. And when we do this, there is glory. When we experience this, there is transformation, there is God's presence, there is hope, there is strength, and there is love. Glory is what we seek, and glory is what we need tonight. There is undeniably a lot of darkness in our world,
a lot of darkness in our lives. And as we light these candles, we share that flame one with another. That if it goes out, someone else can help you get it back. That we might be open to God's glory, open to God's possibilities in our lives. For this little candle is a promise, a pledge, a defiance of the darkness. It's a parable of a faithful life, a yearning for light and resistance to evil. What relationship will you build tonight? What glory will you claim? In the name of Jesus. Let us begin.
So we're going to sing Silent Night. The words are going to appear on the screen. We're going to light our candles. As the light passes to you, tip your unlit candle to the lit one, okay? And then hold it up, and the next person gets it, and the next. That way you won't get burned. And then when we go all the way through the song, we're going to get to the last verse, and we're going to do it a cappella and lift our candles up to the Lord, okay?
Merry Christmas.
You guys got the words? Yeah.
Rise.
Christ is life, and that life is the light of humanity. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let all their songs have joy.
The hills and the hills and
repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes
to make his blessing
flow. The curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love.
Please remember to extinguish your flame before you leave your pew, but receive this benediction with heart and head uplifted. Our aim is glory. Our hope and our dreams, our purpose, our heart's desire is to feel God's presence and to know God's love tonight. Glory. Can you say it with me?
Glory.
Glory. Glory. Glory. Peace and grace. And Merry Christmas.
Amen.
You need that? How are you, man?
Not bad. How are you?
Great to see you.
Great to see you, too.
Thank you.
That was headed to the floor for a minute.